everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast, brought to you by the coronavirus. We're the only film pig, only podcast about film that's left because there's no more movies. And also because all middle-aged people have died. So
this is the only content left.
We're just lucky because we don't have any friends. So we self-isolate normally. My name is Stephen Falk. Over in his bunker in a secluded location out in Wyoming, right, Todd?
Yeah.
Was I not supposed to say that?
Let's not worry about which state I'm in.
Okay. So not in Wyoming is Todd Robert Anderson.
Hi, everybody. I'm not in Wyoming.
And then in a hot air balloon, because he thinks that's going to keep him safe, Stephen J. Skelton.
I am above it all.
You're like an aeronaut.
I'm going around the world.
Anyway, this is the Film Pigs podcast, guys. We've been doing this kind of stuff for, I'm not going to say how long, but very long. We are a podcast about movies done by three dudes every month. We are part of the problem, not the solution. But we are passionate about drinking beer and movies. And so why don't we just get started with a segment that used to be called Movie News. But because there's no, we still have the theme song, but this week, since there's really no news about movies, because there's no movies.
Before you told me you were doing this, the only news I saw was the movie said they didn't make any money.
Yeah, movies didn't make any money.
Well, and that Harvey Weinstein got coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
he's
fun.
Not really in the industry anymore, is he? So
I checked my rapist news, not my movie news, for stuff about Weinstein now.
Yeah. Convicted. Alleged. So usually we talk about movie news, but since there is no movie news, as we said, I asked these guys to tell me about a movie they've seen recently. Just as sort of a sad consolation, the way I have to tell my children they can't go outside, but we can play inside yet again today. Yay, Todd.
Oh, my God. I saw The Hunt.
Ah.
Oh.
On the VOD.
The Damon Lindelof and Nate Cues? What's his name? Carlton's son. Wrote a like a little fun B revenge pick, and it's really a
take on The Most Dangerous Game is what.
Yeah, it is. And it was originally slated to has twice been shuttled by natural events. There was a school shooting, so they killed it, and then brought it back. What?
Plus, it was really because Trump tweeted about it being racist. Said that the shooting was their reason, but there were so many violent movies coming out in the theater that same week, and it didn't make any sense. It was because of Trump. That's why they delayed it.
And then they put it out in the theater only to be have all the theaters close. What'd you think of it, Todd? I watched it as well.
I'll tell you what. I only expected a B-movie riff on The Most Dangerous Game, a la the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Surviving the Game with Ice-T. And I thought it was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. It's a good B-movie. It has good gore and fun. I liked it. Good acting.
Yeah, Betty Gilpin from Glow is a she really has fun with the character. And she kind of winks at it without sort of standing outside of the character, I think.
Sure.
I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was really good.
Yeah, I
liked it a lot. Mostly because it was fun. I mean, the critics kind of railed on it for being trying to like overstepping itself as far as a satirical bent. But I'm like, no, it's just a B movie. It's The Most Dangerous Game. So they threw in Republicans and Democrats against each other. It doesn't really matter. It's still just a dumb people hunting people movie. If you're offended by it, well, you just don't like people hunting people.
People hunting people. Hunt was it was well worth the $19.99.
Yeah, great.
Skelton.
I finally got around to seeing the Charlie's Angels reboot.
Why?
Because you finally became
a lockdown,
feminist,
man.
You got the Rona.
Yeah, I'm in quarantine. That's the first thing that once if you test positive for the virus, they make you watch Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So how was it?
Once it was over, did you immediately tweet Elizabeth Banks to tell her you're now feminist enough to have seen yeah. the new Charlie's Angels?
No, okay, good. No, I didn't do that. It was a pretty bland movie. I wouldn't say it's necessarily bad, but it's kind of like Hobbs and Shaw was. Mm-hmm. It felt like it had almost all of the pieces for a fun action movie, but none of them quite landed well. So the characters weren't terribly interesting. The set pieces, you know, the action wasn't that inspired. It was the kind of a fun, almost fun premise where they kind of blew up the whole idea of Charlie's Angels to be this giant worldwide organization. And there are a billion Bosleys. And Patrick Stewart was fun as one of the Bosleys. But ultimately, like, you know, Kristen Stewart was like the devil may care, irreverent rebel character. And that's not really her wheelhouse.
I was going to say, are you sure you had the right actress for that?
Yeah. So I don't think that quite helped. Cause it just was ultimately kind of flat. You know, it didn't have, it kind of had once in a while some of the humor from the previous movies styles, because they even referenced the previous movies. So I'm not sure if they meant that, like, we're in the same universe or not, because tonally it was way different. But yeah, you see it, you go, yeah, I see why it didn't really take off.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Yeah.
I saw a movie called Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, what's yeah. that about?
That Skeleton just mentioned. The Hobbs and Shaw. It's Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. It's you guys know what it is, but I finally watched it, and because it's on HBO. And look, it's not good, you guys. It's not good at all.
No.
It could have been worse. It's real cheesy. I did like Idris Elba as the bad guy. I thought he had fun with his normal British accent. And you know, you have Rock and Statham, and there's a lot of punchings. And you know, it's like all Fast and Furious. The humor and the camaraderie that they think they're presenting doesn't quite work. it's just like kind of flat, and then they get all serious and like family, and that's really cheesy. Hey man, but you know, there's a four truck daisy chain being pulled by a helicopter.
That was a good sequence. I like that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Anyway, Hobbs and Shaw. Burn, Hollywood, burn. All right. That music means it's time for our theme. So the theme, you guys, is the obviously it's the great coronavirus movie shutdown of 2020. We'll leave the we don't have to leave the politics out of it, but we'll leave the specifics about what's happening right now, because it'll change in a week. By the time this, or maybe this is landing tomorrow, I don't know. I guess we have a lot of time on our hands, but I kind of want to talk about what's happening with the movies right now. Because they don't exist, and you know, movies and theaters are basically all shut down. There's probably some still open in you know, the handful of states that don't have mandatory restrictions, and obviously our chosen leader is intimating that he wants to get everything back to business. So who knows if that'll change, although it's more of a local and state decision. But there are drive-ins operating, and some are opening early. That's one tiny little bright spot. Ours here in LA are not open, unfortunately, yet.
Oh, Vineland's not open?
I checked yesterday. It wasn't.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's changed, but because I really want to go to the drive-in. But they are doing good business, because you can, you know, socially distance in your car, and they'll bring popcorn to your car and stuff. It's pretty cool. You know, but so I'm just going to kind of run down what's happened as a result of this, the movie's distribution and production being shut down for the most part. So basically, you know, movies are shut down, film festivals from important indie launching pads like South by Southwest to big international blockbuster coming out parties like Cannes have all been canceled or postponed. South by just did their awards without any public screening, just announced them. And a lot of other festivals are vowing to go online and exhibit the pictures online, I imagine, for the same sort of ticket price or fee. Production is all but shut down, most likely not happening for months, I would imagine, because you can't be far away from each other on a movie set. Post-production is continuing, but it's hampered by online storage limits, actually, and by not fully realized online collaboration tools. They really haven't been perfected to the degree that that the workflow needs. So post is, while it's continuing, and VFX similarly, but it's a little difficult because you don't have the computing power at home necessarily. But anyway, so post is kind of limping along. Most movies are moving off their release dates and pushing back some as far as a year, like Fast and Furious 9, are moving all the way to 2021. But basically movies that have been in theaters, that were in theaters or had their runs cut short are being put on DVD, on VOD, blowing past the exhibition windows as the studios have wanted for years, and as the national NATO, the theater owners have not wanted, like The Hunt and Bloodshot, Invisible Man, Pixar's Onward, and others. Oh yeah,
Bloodshot's coming out this Friday, right, on VOD.
What is
Bloodshot?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Others are going straight to streaming, like Paramount's The Lovebirds with Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani. It's going straight to Netflix. They're not even going to VOD it.
Oh, really? They're putting it right on Netflix?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awesome because I want to see that movie, but I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah. Or movies that were not or have not been released yet are going straight to VOD if they're not going to Netflix, like Ben Affleck's The Way Back, or many, many others are being pushed, like Wonder Woman 2, and as I said, F9, and many, many others. Perhaps the only thing that's sort of relatively unbothered is writing, because writing is something a person can do at home. Pitching for jobs, not that anyone pitches original movies anymore, but that's being done remotely, so it's a little hampered, but it's not stopped. The business was worried about a possible Writers Guild strike and was sort of stockpiling scripts to go into production if the writers went in strike when the contract ends in May. That's clearly not happening, and we'll have like a year extension of the contract to wait to fight in 2021. Movie stars and professionals like all the way from A-listers like Tom Hanks are catching this disease, or Terrence McNally, who's a great playwright and screenwriter. He died today. Kickstarters for movie professionals, the New York City movie theater workers, they just completed their goal, that someone started a GoFundMe for them. The Alamo Drafthouse is starting a $2 million fund for their workers. Netflix, a $100 million fund for their crews and other, outside crews who petition for the grants, who are out of work. The theater organizers, along with every other industry, like literally, are asking for government bailouts. The one sort of bright spot, China, is slowly reopening theaters. It's yet to see who's going to be going. Meanwhile, challenge theater owners are fearing that the premium VOD offerings are going to be perceived by the public as a permanent change. A lot of theater owners were really pissed when Universal announced that they were putting The Hunt and Invisible Man on VOD early. But a studio exec, they say that the anxiety is justified, especially as pay-per-view rental is probably cheaper than, you know, even the 1999 for a couple to go to the movies. Quote, people from 13 to 30 have already completely changed the way they consume entertainment. The question is, will this shift another generation of people from 30 to 50? The theater owners are obviously a little more upbeat because they have to be. They say, quote, people will return to the movie theaters because that's who people are. Don't scan that sentence too closely. When they return, they will rediscover a cutting edge, immersive entertainment experience that they have been forcefully reminded they cannot replicate at home. And they're also asking Congress for money. You know, but I guess the question is this true? Is this, you know, this shutting down of movies, even if it reopens in May or August, as our two estimates, is it going to cause people to just sort of be freaked out being in a movie theater the way that the Batman Forever shooting did? You know, it's very reminiscent of that scene from Outbreak, which was a very effective scene where, you know, a guy sneezes in the movie theater and we follow the particles landing in people's popcorn and anything, everything he touched and everything. You know, or, you know, is the collapsing VOD window temporarily going to up studios' cases that they need in order to compete with streamers? And also because there's no DVD market dead, why wait 4 months? Why after, you know, the first initial few weeks of box office, why isn't it going straight to VOD? That's an argument they've been making. Theater owners have been pushing back. But it's going to be relatively hard to argue. Some studios are sticking with the windows, like Sony Pictures chairman Tom Rothman, when he announced that Bloodshot starring Vin Diesel is going to be on demand actually today, I believe, Todd, March 24th.
Okay, cool. Well, are we talking? I should be watching Bloodshot.
He said, quote, Sony Pictures is firmly committed to the theatrical exhibition and we support windowing. This is a unique and exceedingly rare circumstance. You know, but there's, you know, and there's also some question over where whether VOD can make the same money as a worldwide exhibition. You know, if you take like Trolls, right, the new Trolls movie, which let's say Universal thinks Trolls is going to be a $600 million film. And if they out of that window, the theatrical window, let's say was going to be $300. At $20 a pop, can they sell 13 million copies online? They don't know yet. So when Trolls goes VOD, that's actually going to be a big sort of test, because that's going to be the first like really sort of big worldwide movie. Strangely enough, other executives are skeptical that that's going to happen because you know you have Frozen 2 coming out on Disney Plus for what $6 a month. Mm-hmm. And you know, isn't a kid just going to watch that over and over or any of his other streaming movies rather than, you know, VODing Trolls for $20? It's a question. I guess a couple things, you know, that some of this information struck me as, you know, when the theater owners have, you know, cutting edge and immersive as a selling point, is that tipping their hand that home viewing is growing superior? I mean, I guess they can't tout the group dynamic of it right now, like, which is, you know, is the group experience is sort of the main selling point, I think, you know, or just going out of it and being with people. Right now, that's not something that anyone wants to do. So I guess they have to talk about the dubious technological innovation. And also there's other questions like, you know, should Oscar eligibility be altered this year, given the extraordinary circumstance? Some movies may want to compete that don't end up going into theaters at all. And then my last sort of question is, what do you guys miss about the movie theater experience? And what would make you feel comfortable again? When do you think that might be? I open the floor.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's, there's probably going to be, you know, again, it depends on how things go in reality. But I'm guessing in terms of, you know, movie goers, we're looking at probably from now a good 6 months of very caginess about wanting to go back into a movie theater. And I think on the business side, this whole kind of early release window, the VOD stuff that's happening now, that's something that is the biggest threat long term, I think, to theaters is not necessarily the wanting to same day release, but a studio having a theatrical release and not hitting their expected targets in the theater and then wanting to immediately go VOD to try and make up some of that lost revenue.
Right. Right. Yeah.
For me, as far as getting into the theaters and feeling safe again, I mean, honestly, Hillary had to force me not to go out and see The Hunt on Friday the 13th. Cause I really wanted to go. Right. Luckily it came out on VOD a week later, so no big deal. But I mean, I want to go to the movies cause I like the movies. Part of what I like about movies is the theaters are kind of gross. There's like shit on the floor. You know, it's a weird communal experience, but I don't know how much of that is nostalgia for me and having discovered the art form through theaters. And I wonder, like, depending on how long this lasts, I mean, I think so many young people get handed down this nostalgia from their parents. Their parents take them to movies. They grow up going to movies because their parents like going to the movies. And then they like to go to the movies in the same way people like hand down church and shit like that. So I'm just wondering if this goes on long enough, will that nostalgia no longer be strong enough to get people to go to the theaters at all?
That's a good point.
I don't know.
And we're looking at losing some, like the smaller theaters are going to go out of business. There's going to be a chunk of that, I'm pretty sure, I would guess.
Well, so many of the, like the cheap theater in Simi Valley, California, was already driven out of business by greed. So I don't know how much of those mom and pop theaters there really are left anyway. It's just a matter of if the big chains will even stay open. But here's another question. When you were talking, Steve Falk, one thing I thought of, are we going to have like a new B-movie renaissance like we did, speaking of drive-ins in the drive-in era? Because now, like, clearly what they're putting on VOD is theatrical releases that are mid-level budget. And they're pushing all their like IP stuff that costs a gazillion dollars back. So are we going to have a new drive-in-esque B-movie renaissance as the result of people having to be isolated?
Well, I, you know, my argument for that would be that we were already having it. I mean, horror movies in the Blumhouse era, you know, really that's been, you know, a good 8-10 years now, but really it's ramping up with, you know, ever since, Jordan Peele came along, and now Invisible Man, is sort of taking the Universal monster, movie thing that didn't work with The Mummy, and they're taking a completely different direction. I would say that, you know, these sort of low budget to low mid budget horror movies have already really ushered in this this giant wave where B movies essentially are driving a lot of the box office that isn't giant tentpoles. You know, the original movies that are making money are horror movies now,
right?
And no, I do think just in terms of like drive-in, I think alternate exhibition venues like rooftop movies or sort of ad hoc drive-ins or even traditional drive-ins are indeed going to sort of become the new 3D of movies. And I think you're already seeing there's a great couple of like kind of ad hoc drive-ins in Austin, and LA has tons of rooftop movie theaters. I think it's not long before the actual exhibitioners start, you know, putting the first run movies in these alternate spaces, like you know, Cinespia here in LA is this big, it's a big cemetery where, you know, it's always sold out to go see these sort of cult and famous, you know, movies from the past, from Hitchcock to, you know, Ferris Bueller to Jaws. And I don't know why they're not doing that with, you know, they're not trying to do that with first run movies.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder too if, like, in line with what you're saying, if at this point the B movie thing that has sort of had a renaissance in the last year or two, it'll finally be sealed. That's where people are looking for their movie entertainment.
Well, but I think the B movie thing, the Blumhouse stuff, is, you know, it's been successful in theaters, but I think it's also, you know, part of the shift to streaming. You know, I mean, you know, there's tons of B movies that Netflix has snapped up. They're all terrible. But, you know, but they're, you know, the focus has been, for streaming channels and streaming content, outside of theatrical releases. Like the horror genre has been dominating kind of the B movie, theatrical release, but yeah, I go on Netflix and there's a million like terrible little like pseudo action
sure,
yeah. 80s right winger style movies.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's a good time for me. It really is.
It's good. The coronavirus is a good time for Todd.
It's a good time for you, other than you can't actually go to the movies where you spend what, 3 days a week?
Yeah, at least.
Do you think certain chains are gonna there's gonna be a contraction of screens, or is it sort of they're gonna have their corporate bailout, their stocks will go down a little bit, but it's just gonna kind of be back to normal once this all peters out?
I think it like entirely depends on how long this lasts.
Yeah.
I mean, because the longer it goes on, then the more even the big chains, the more screens are going to close. So we'll probably if it goes on, you know, for 18 months, you're going to see the some of the big chains, they're going to start closing some of their smaller complexes.
Well, the argument against that, and I don't know if this is accurate, but if this were only, let's say there was a rash of movie theater shootings, God forbid, right? And no one was going to the movies for a period of time. I could see that happening, but this is happening amidst a downturn of the entire, I mean, a catastrophic, not downturn, a stoppage of the entire economy. So in other words, it's not like these commercial real estate owners, you know, if these franchises don't own the buildings themselves or even the land, it's not like, you know, people are clamoring to that real estate is suddenly that valuable. It may be worth firing everyone, shuttering it as it is now for 3 months, and then just opening it back up, because they movies make a lot of money. And do you know what I mean? It's not like,
well, yeah, just... I mean, on that side of it, but the flip side is, you know, if this goes on for 9, 10, 12, you know, months or more, by the time we get out of it, even if the theater chains have, you know, just shuttered it to weather the storm and they open up, hey, we're ready for business, who's going to have the money to go see movies?
That's another thing.
People will have lost their everything they have by then. They won't have the money. They won't have the money to make their rent, let alone go to the movies.
We might get checks for $2,000.
Well, I stand corrected.
Or $500. We don't know for sure yet. But you know what? Like, side note, thinking about this, over in Porter Ranch, California, for the last like couple of years, they've been building this giant mall over there, including this new AMC with like 22 theaters in it, and half of them are IMAX and all that crazy stuff. And it never had its grand opening. It was supposed to happen now.
Oh, poor Porter Ranch.
Yeah, and I've been sitting on these AMC gift cards for years.
Like a chump.
Well, I don't want to go to Burbank.
That's what this episode is titled. All right, well, that's our theme. That's our theme, guys.
Nice theme. I liked it. I mean, it was sad and end timesy, but, you know, thoughtful.
It is. That sound that Todd is talking over, that's the that's movie jail, you guys.
Oh no!
This is a segment where we put film professionals on trial for crimes against cinema, where they are remanded to the Robert De Niro federal penitentiary multi-gigaplex where there are all sorts of different levels of punishment from death row all the way down to a little ankle monitoring or a slap on the wrist. The honorable judge, me, I guess. I'm the judge. I'm coming in. Bailiff, why don't you introduce me, you fucker?
Hey, all ye rise for the honorable Judge Stephen Falk. Prosecutor Steve Skelton, you can now begin your casings.
Oye, oye.
Thank you, bailiff, for finally getting around to doing your job.
You know what? It's a coronavirus.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
Your Honor, we're in a global crisis, so I'm not going to waste the court's time reviewing the accused's past record. What's important right now are her current selfish and ignorant actions that have put others at risk. I'm speaking of recent comments by Evangeline Lilly regarding her refusal to self-isolate or practice social distancing during the worst global pandemic since 1918. Posting on social media, Lily said, hashtag morning tea, just dropped my kids off at gymnastics camp. They all wash their hands before going in. They're playing and laughing. Hashtag business as usual. When criticized, Lily responded, let's be vigilant right now, keeping a close eye on our leaders, making sure they don't abuse this moment to steal away more freedoms and grab more power, but gracious with each other as we try to navigate the unknown dangers of a modern global world and power structure. I think we all need to slow down, take a breath, and look at the facts we are being presented with. They do not add up to the all-out global lockdown, control, pandemonium, and insanity we are experiencing. I hope that people will find their peace and sanity where you are soon. In another comment, Lily reported that she's living with her father, who has stage 4 leukemia, saying, I am also immune compromised at the moment. I have 2 young kids. Some people value their lives over freedom. Some people value freedom over their lives. We all make our choices with love and respect, EL. Treating the coronavirus as if it's just another regular flu strain, despite all the scientific evidence presented, is a staggering level of denial and ignorance. It is also the height of irresponsibility to cite freedom as a reason to continue potentially exposing others to infection, especially non-millionaires who are going to be devastated by this pandemic. Your Honor, I call for the following sentences. 1. Lily must be sent to isolation and maximum security, where she cannot possibly infect others with the potential coronavirus or her demonstrated ignorance and disregard for the health of others. She is to remain there until the pandemic threat has passed. 2. Marvel should immediately recast her coveted and lucrative role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe using the Howard to Cheadle formula and replace her with a more responsible professional, maybe Alison Brie or Lizzie Kaplan, or Sophie Turner, who called out Lily's bullshit on social media. And 3. Finally, authorities should confiscate all her toilet paper. The prosecution rests.
I was inclined to rule when you said her name.
Just for being boring.
The court has heard nothing but bad things about her from a decade ago. And so this behavior did not surprise me, because Hollywood rumors of bad behavior and diva nonsense are usually true. But this is an extreme case. Guilty on all counts.
Oh, boy. But let's be honest, you guys. She uses a bidet. She's not a toilet paper person. She has probably that extra toilet bowl bidet. Not like some weird attachment.
No, this has to smell good.
Did you guys hear that?
Hey, guys.
What?
Oh, my God.
There it was again.
That's really weird.
Oh, guys. Oh, I know what that is.
Nick Cage.
That's Nick. Yeah, you guys, this is the Nick Cage Memorial Bizarre Line Reading time. This is when our chosen pig puts forth a clip from a favorite or not favorite movie in which an actor does such a weird fucking line reading that it is it deserves to go in the canon right up with Nick Cage's many, many crazy line readings. Todd, what do you have for us this week?
Well, the unofficial third entry in the Nick Cage direct to video Renaissance trilogy is a movie called Color Out of Space. I can't recommend it enough. It goes perfectly with Mom and Dad and Mandy. This particular sequence is with he's losing his shit. There's this space garbage in his yard. It's screwing up his satellite dish, which is messing up his wife's whole business, and she makes all the money. She's played here by Jolie Richardson, and he's been growing basically a victory garden, and everything looked so good, but when he bites into it, it tastes like garbage because of the space shit in the yard. Here you go.
I've got to do something about that dish. I am literally hemorrhaging clients.
Should be working, sweetie. I just checked it this morning.
No, it's garbling the fuck out of everything I say. Nate, are you listening to me?
You know, I did everything I was supposed to do. I followed every fucking rule in the book. In the end, they still fucking taste like shit. You know what? Fuck that. Coming up! You know what?
Okay, stop it! Stop!
Slam dunk!
You know what? Just do something about that dish! All right, do you know what I'm... I'm gonna go and lie down? Just fix that dish, okay?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, sweetie.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's weird. So is he stomping around in all of his garbage?
No. What's happening is he's at a sink, and he's got these beautiful veggies he just picked from his garden. And his wife comes in, bothers him about his dish, and when he bites into the peach, it tastes like shit. And then he bites into a tomato, and it tastes like shit. And then he bites into some other vegetable, and it tastes like shit. And that's when he freaks out. And then the banging you hear is him just throwing all the vegetables into the garbage. That's why it says slam dunk.
I would like to say that was a fantastic clip, and I really want to see this movie now.
Yes. I can't recommend it enough. See it. I can't believe you guys haven't.
I know. It's a shame. Okay. All right. Well, good job, Todd. That noise, that beautiful music means it's time for what, guys?
A game.
Oh, no.
A little game. Now, this is going to be an unusual type of game, guys. Relax about it. There's not a lot of effort being put out here, good. Okay?
All right. You mean on your part or ours?
Oh, yeah, on my part. You guys have to fucking do a lot of shit. So this is going to be called – this is called Movies with Stee. And Stee is my nickname from way back, you guys. So, okay. I'm a weirdo, and I keep a list of every movie I've seen in the movie theater since 1990. not video, not VOD, but only in the movie theaters. But I tend to go a lot, except right now. I've seen a lot of movies with you guys.
Yep.
We've also seen movies, the three of us, with other people.
Yep. Mm.
I'm going to name a movie. You have to tell me for 2 points per person, per additional person, correct. But you only get to guess two or three or however many I tell you there were. You get 2 points per other person you correctly guess we saw the movie with.
Oh, wow.
In other words, right? Where I just say Snakes on a Plane and I told you we saw it with 11 people.
Oh, shit.
You could name a bunch of people. You could only up to 11, you get 2 points per that you were correct, okay?
Oh, man.
I get you.
Yeah. Okay, and it's even, so no one has – I think there's a one-point difference, one-person difference. So there's 14 movies.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like, I've weighed them equally. And then there's also a bonus question for each of you.
Okay.
Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. Eight-Legged Freaks. Now, this is a movie that Skelton, Todd, and I saw together.
Uh-huh.
With this particular movie, we saw with two other people.
Two other people.
Eight-legged freaks.
Okay, if it was two other people, I'm going to say...
You can only guess two people.
I can guess two people. I can only guess two. I'm going to say Hillary.
That's correct.
And, Dre?
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
It was Shireen.
Oh,
no steals. No
steals. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, Todd.
Yeah.
The Matthew McConaughey dragon movie, Reign of Fire. There were, along with Stephen, Todd, and Skelton, three other people with us. Name those people.
All right. Hillary, my wife, Hillary Anderson.
Yes. Yes.
Pamela Ribbon.
Oh, that is correct.
And third one, I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to guess Dan Blau.
No.
That was my guess. Shit, I have no idea who the third person
was. It was Pam Ribbon, my ex-wife, Hill, your current wife, and Winston Story.
Oh, shit. Winston was there? God damn it.
Adjunct film pig forever, Winston Story.
Funny
okay.
Bastard.
You got 4 points there. Steve.
Yeah.
All right. 28 Days Later.
Oh, my God.
You, me, and Todd saw a movie, a zombie movie called 28 Days Later.
Uh-huh.
This movie, accompanying us, were nine other people.
Oh, no. Okay, so I got nine guesses.
You have 18 possible points here, guys.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to start with Hillary.
Yes.
She's a Kiffin.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go Dre.
Yes.
I'm going to go Shireen.
Shireen is correct.
I'm going to go Shannon Hillary.
Shannon is correct.
Okay, so that's four. I got five more?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Who the hell else? Okay, let's say... God, how long ago was this? AK Stamps?
Andrew Kamenetsky is correct.
damn it. Okay, who else would have Frank?
No.
Damn it.
Where was Frank? Okay. What's his deal?
He wasn't here. Okay, so you have guessed six. You've guessed five people correct and six one erroneously.
Right. So what do I have? Do I have two guesses left?
No, that would be three more guesses.
Three more guesses. Oh, my God. Who else would have gone to that movie with us? Oh, God.
Let me just check. Hold on. You guessed Hill. Who else did you guess?
I guessed Hill, Dre, Shireen, AK,
Shannon.
Shannon.
And then not Frank.
And,
so
and
that's
then I, and then I and then I missed one.
Yeah, so you have three.
So and I have Frank three. And then okay, so let's see who would be left.
Four possible people.
I'm trying to remember, like back in the day. Then who would it? Was BK there too?
Brian Kamenetsky was there.
Oh, you're okay. and then shit. Let's see.
Two more guesses, three possible correct answers.
God. I'm going to go with Winston.
Winston is incorrect. You have one more guess.
Damn it. Who the hell else? Oh, that was so long ago. Shit. Okay. I said Frank. I said Winston. I'm blanking. I can't think.
Just name anybody, any friend that you've ever had.
Steve Hicks?
Hicks is incorrect.
Damn it.
All right. It was AK, BK, Shannon, Shireen, Dre, Hill, Pamela Ribbon.
Oh, fuck.
Which he just guessed. Kevin Baird.
K- Kevin.
And Ursula Barry.
Ursula.
Oh, Ursula.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
All right. So you have 14 to Todd's 4.
This is fucking already stacked.
Okay. Todd.
Yeah.
The movie starring Keanu Reeves. Constantine. Now, in addition to Todd, yourself, Skelton, and Falk, there were 6 other people.
Wow, really?
Really?
Hillary?
Hillary is one, yes.
Shireen?
Shireen is one, yes.
Shannon?
No.
Oh. Shit.
There were 6 in total, you said?
Yes, you've guessed 2 of them correctly. You have 3 more guesses.
Constantine, who would have gone to Constantine? I don't know, Winston?
Winston is incorrect.
Shit. Steve Hicks?
2 more guesses. Steve Hicks is incorrect. 1 more guess.
How about Stephen Rob Day?
Incorrect.
God damn it. I don't know.
This is a really hard game.
It is hard.
So you got Hill and Shireen.
Yeah. Who'd I miss?
Additionally, there were Pamela Ribbon.
Oh.
Kevin Baird.
God, and Kevin Ursula. Again.
No. Brian Kamenetsky. And I'm blanking on her name because I have a different name in here.
Okay.
She's friends with some of us. She used to live at the compound.
Jen.
Oh, yes. Jen.
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 Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You have 8 points to Skelton's 14. Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Team America.
Oh my God.
World Police or whatever it's called. There are 2 people. Aside from 3 of us. Name those people.
Just two. Hillary.
Hillary is 1.
Okay, then who? Shannon Hillary.
Pamela Ribbon.
Ew, come on.
She was at a lot of those movies. Do you remember when we saw that? We saw that at the Chinese theater.
Oh, that's right.
Ah.
Okay, Todd.
So I hear this where the virus started. What?
Once upon a time in Mexico.
Whoa.
A little acknowledged Johnny Depp movie.
Shit. Yeah.
Two people came aside from the 3 of us. Todd, name those people.
Who came with us? I'm going to guess Hillary and Pamela.
That is correct.
Nice.
I'm catching on.
But at some point, you guys, that person's not my life anymore.
This is so horrible. All right.
Skelton.
Yeah.
Batman Begins.
Oh, come on.
All right. There were, in addition to the 3 of us, 5 people who came with us.
God, I hate these that have so many people.
God, really? 5 people?
Batman Begins.
Batman Hillary? Batman Begins.
I'm going to say Hillary.
1 second, please. You are correct, Hillary.
Okay, and then we got how many other people went to see Batman with us?
This is 2005, Batman.
5. Batman. Shireen?
Shireen is correct.
Dre?
Dre is not correct. You have 2 more guesses.
Batman Begins. Who really loves Batman that we know that went to the movies with us? AK, Andy, Cam?
Andy Kaminsky is incorrect.
Damn it. One Winston. More.
No.
Damn it.
That was going to be Kevin Baird.
No.
Ursula. And Gabriel Olds. All right. Todd.
Yeah.
I really screwed the pooch on that one.
Todd, this one's called Final Destination.
Oh, the original.
There were, in addition to the three of us, five other individuals.
Holy shit. We got a group of eight to go to this? Craig Perry should thank me.
Todd, who were those five people?
Hillary?
Yes.
Shireen?
Yes.
Pam?
No.
Fuck. I got two more guesses?
Yes.
Kevin and Ursula.
Kevin?
Kevin is correct.
Ursula?
Ursula is incorrect.
God damn it, Skelton. Who are the other? Who did I miss?
Hillary's brother and wife.
Oh, shit. Gary and Debbie.
Huh.
Estranged wife now, but yes.
Oh.
That's hilarious. I forgot I saw that with them.
Skelton, it's a tight game. It's 20 to 18.
Oh, my God.
Holy mackerel.
Okay. Steve Skelton.
Yeah.
Poseidon.
Oh, my God.
Why they call me Lucky.
Three other people came with us.
Okay.
Who were those people?
Hillary.
Hillary was there.
Shireen.
Shireen was there.
Damn it. I'm trying to remember when. What do we know what year the movie was?
I'm not looking that up for you, but you can.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to say Dre.
Three for three.
Yes. Nice job.
Very
perfect
nice.
Perfect score.
Okay. Todd.
Yes.
There's a little movie called Rocky Balboa.
Oh, Rocky Balboa.
Oh, boy.
This was, I do believe, a movie that we walked out of, and I do believe there's video of us talking about it.
Yeah.
I believe we were extremely, extremely drunk.
Todd, there were two other people who came with us.
The two other people are Dan Barron and
Todd, that is correct.
And Andrew
Todd's old agent.
Andrew Kamenetsky.
Wow, you remember that?
Yeah, like it was yesterday.
Wow.
Because there's video.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen those videos in 12 years.
I remember being mortified seeing how drunk I was in the video, so I've never really forgotten it.
Steve Skelton.
Yes.
Okay, it's now, let's see, Steve 26 to 21. Okay, it is your turn. It's Black Christmas.
Black Christmas.
The remake.
Two other people.
But not the new remake. The old remake.
Two other people.
Two other people.
Yes.
Well, it's going to be Hillary.
It is not going to be Hillary.
Oh, shit.
I can't believe
Twist.
That.
So I got one more guess. Dre.
No. Oh. Andrew Kamenetsky and Stephen Robb Day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
All right, Todd. You have a chance to catch up here.
Okay.
Well, not all the way, but close. Todd.
Thanks so much.
The movie's called Bolt.
Oh. Okay.
The movie's called Bolt.
Uh-huh.
Two individuals came with us.
To Bolt.
With the three of us.
I'm going to guess Hillary.
It is not correct.
Really?
What?
Andrew Kamenetsky?
Nope.
What?
A girl named Emily Nathan, who I used to date.
Oh, yeah, oh, Emily. Yeah. I remember Emily.
And a child named Colby.
Who the fuck is that? Why were we out with a child?
Last two. Todd. Skelton.
Yeah.
Skelton.
Yeah.
This movie's called Final Destination 5.
Five. Oh. Jesus.
Five. So we're skipping ahead, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, it's just two called, people. It's just called Final Destination, though, right?
I don't know. Two people came with us.
Two people came with us to Final Destination 5, which might also just be called Final Destination.
Sure.
I'm gonna say Hillary.
Hillary was one of them.
Fuck yeah, she was.
And I'm gonna say Dre.
No, it was my wife Christina.
It was Christina.
Yeah.
Sorry, Christina.
It's okay.
I let you down.
So am I to understand?
I do that all the time.
Am I to understand this correctly? I've been to Final Destination movies with all of your wives.
Yeah, I think so. And girlfriends. Okay.
That's like some weird key
no,
part.
She did. Okay. Todd. Todd. Yeah. Legion.
With Paul Bettany.
Four people came to Legion with us.
I literally just watched that again the other day. I just watched it. I still love it.
Do you remember who came with us?
No, I can tell you who I watched it with the other night. But how many?
You get no points for that.
How many people?
Four.
So Hillary, definitely.
Yes.
I'm going to say Shireen.
No.
Ooh.
Really? I'm going to say Dre.
No.
Damn.
God damn it. There were how many people? Three?
Four. You're on your last guess.
I'm on my last
guess. One correct.
Oh, I'm kind of fucked, I guess. Who would have gone to Legion? I don't know. Pam?
No, I'm sorry to say. This was Hillary, AK, his wife, Anna.
Uh-huh.
And Gabe Olds. Four people.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Okay, you guys. It's bonus time.
I like bonuses.
Okay. Give me a bonus.
All right. I'm going to make this. Let's see what the gap here is. I'm going to make this worth 15 points. Todd,
this seems like screwing me out of my decisive win.
He's like the Electoral College.
Yeah, this is bullshit. Like the way we elect presidents.
Steve Skelton, this is a multiple choice question.
Okay.
The Incredible Hulk.
What's the question?
Who did you see it with? Is the answer A, me, you, Todd, Shannon? B, me, you, Todd? Or C, me, you?
Which Incredible Hulk is it? That's the Norton one?
I believe so, yes. Oh, we're giving hints now. Okay.
It's the Norton one. If it's a Norton one, I'm going to say it was just you and me, Falk.
That is correct. It was just me and Skelton.
Yes.
All right, Todd, yours is worth 30 points.
This is bullshit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Todd.
Yeah.
No, okay, this is worth 15, but then there's a bonus to the bonus.
Oh, come on!
Todd.
Uh-huh.
Name the first movie we saw together. Multiple choice here.
Mm-hmm.
Natural Born Killers.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst Friends. Or Blown Away.
Oh, shit. It's between two. I'm going to go with Blown Away.
That was not the first movie. We did see that.
Was it Natural Born Killers?
No, it was Amongst Friends.
Amongst Friends? I don't even remember that movie.
The bonus was going to be, who did we see it with? Two people.
Amongst Friends? We saw it with two people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Frank and Steve Keita.
No, Greg Jones and Barth.
Oh, okay.
All right, that's... Steve Skelton with a decisive win.
I am a champion.
All right.
And that sound, you guys, That means it's time for the bottom five. That sad, sad child chorus. This is the five worst things about the movies being canceled. Number five, I feel bad for people forced out of work all across the country, the world, really. Many, many, many good people. Or also some shitheads, I'm sure. Number four, movies can't be exhibited the way they should be. Even if they're on VOD, it's great. You're not getting to see it in the theater as it was meant to be. Number three, IPIC in Pasadena has these turkey sliders that are really good. And I'm addicted to those. I don't get those. Number two, summer or fall release schedule is going to be way overcrowded. It's going to make for chaotic time, and a lot of indies will be squeezed out, etc. And number one bad thing about movies being closed, popcorn.
Aww.
Oh, but then that little tonic, that salve. It's a moment of positivity. You guys, one good thing, without having to get a babysitter, I got to watch The Hunt.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
All right, everybody. Well, that's it. That's our music by Adam Blau. Thank you, Adam.
Adam.
In your bunker. Guys, it's been nice talking to you. Sorry we can't be in the room together.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
It's nice to hear your voices, though.
Yeah, nice to reminisce about all the movies we've seen, all the people who used to be in our lives.
Who we forgot more. About.
Who would have thought that 30 years of labor would have culminated in a quiz we can't answer?
Hey, I got a little nice quick story at the end here. So I was I was walking out of my garage taking out the trash, and the UPS guy was there right at the same time. And we had like a socially distanced talk for a while. And at the end of it, he goes, "Oh yeah, what's your name?" And I go, "Oh, it's Todd Anderson." And he goes, "Todd Anderson? The actor?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "All right." And then he left. That's nice. Never happened. That was so nice.
That's very nice.
It didn't happen to me before. Yeah. Took a pandemic, cool. But hey.
Yeah. All right. On behalf of myself, Todd Robert Anderson from Wyoming, not Wyoming, and Skelton in a balloon, quickly
in a balloon.
Losing altitude. Just the film pigs. And good night, everybody.
Good night.